It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey.
All right, tonight's a surprise. This is a good one.
You think this will be a good one again?
Yeah, I brought my wife.
Did you really?
Yeah, she's right here.
Well, hello, Kelly.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
And why'd you bring your wife?
Because she's got a lot of wisdom.
Okay, so we're replacing you, and Kelly and I are now doing the God.
We thought we'd bring out the real treasure tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome,
yeah,
Kelly.
I'm scoring points.
Thank you.
Actually, we asked to have the girls back, and we got something on our forum quite a few months ago, as I recall. I'm not sure what the date of this was, but... Melbourne Sue asks, I'd love to get the girls back on for a discussion about marriage and God's language and how women fit into that exactly. It feels like it is much easier for a woman to lose her identity within a marriage than it is for a man. Why is this? Interesting question.
Yeah, well, the reply on the forum was pretty good. And Dave A. said, I sense a disturbance in the force about to happen.
Yeah, men always get nervous when we talk about what women need, you know, or want.
Well, I think it's because most of us aren't sure what to do.
Oh, well,
we haven't figured women out yet.
Oh, we haven't. Well, we've got a shot at it in the next couple of podcasts. Kelly's joining us tonight. We're going to talk about some of what Sue has asked about and some others have interacted with on the forum. And then the next podcast we're going to do right after this one because Sarah's here and we're going to get her perspective on it too. So.
And it's going to be to tell the truth about Wayne.
We'll have no. That's a future podcast.
That'll be next week. Woohoo!
No, I haven't briefed Sarah on that yet, so we'd hate to go there.
Oh, okay. There's
some threats and ultimatums I need to put in place before we start that discussion. What have you guys been doing this weekend? You guys been having fun?
We have my aunt and uncle from Minnesota out.
Oh.
And we've been having a blast. We went to see Anthony and Cleopatra. At the Theatricum Banana, I can't say it.
At the Hoota what?
At the Topanga Theater.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so the Topanga was tough, huh?
Theatricum, Bananicum, something like that. It is where the old hippies hang out.
Can't speak Latin, can you?
No, I can't. I couldn't understand Shakespeare either. It could have been done in Mandarin Chinese, and I probably would have understood just as much.
Oh.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, I'm headed for Minnesota in 2 days, so that's interesting. You got people here from Minnesota. I'm headed that way.
My uncle said something really funny. It was great. And I told him I'd use it on the next podcast. He said, you know what? I finally realized I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I said, you do? Because he comes from a Lutheran background.
A lot of Lutheran people believe in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, well.
You don't mean it.
It's in the liturgy, but not a lot else. But he just said the reason he believes in the Holy Spirit is he recognized just how many folks actually were, you know, leading the church and what was really going on. And he just said, you know what? The fact that people still show up is evidence that the Holy Spirit must be alive and doing something, because otherwise he couldn't figure out why they were there. I thought that was very funny coming from my uncle.
Well, yeah, there's a whole other podcast in there, too, isn't there?
I told him, in lieu of how hilarious that was when he said it, I said, I got to use it on the next podcast.
Yeah,
so,
well, we got
that's for you, Uncle Ron.
We got to use it sometime and we can actually talk about it because there's a lot to mine in that little jewel. But
yes, a little angry.
With the gals here, we hate to kind of get lost on all that stuff, so, right?
So, yeah.
Well, Kelly, let's just, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us again about, people who haven't listened to the previous podcasts when you were on it, tell us a little bit about your life as it is right now.
I am 39, about ready to turn 40.
Oh, I didn't need your age exactly. Wow, pretty honest. Come right out there.
Yeah, that gives you an idea of what season of life I'm in.
Okay.
Although I have a girlfriend who has just had her first baby, and so even though we grew up together. We're
same age?
Same age.
And she's just starting with the kiddos.
And she's just starting with her first.
Wow.
And, my oldest is 11, boy, and then a 9-year-old boy, and a next week 5-year-old little girl. So I'm just about to the season of life where all of them are in school. Taylor will just go half day.
Yeah, and Sheba's been asking about them when they're going to come over and visit again.
Well,
yeah,
I would love to come visit.
Sheba eats our children.
Sheba likes chasing them around
chasing
the backyard.
In the backyard, so. And biting them in the rear.
Yeah,
thank you, Sheba.
Sheba's got a gift.
Yeah. Jared's been asking, when can I go back to the Jacobsons and get bit by their dog?
I'm honestly shocked they're not here every week, really, because that's just, where can you get that anywhere else on the planet?
For free.
Yeah, for free. We can charge if that helps. But so before you had kids, though, would you do anything professionally?
Yes, I taught school.
You did?
I did.
What grades?
I taught high school, biology and physiology. Taught for 4 years before having our first child.
Wow. You guys were married those 4 years, too?
Yes.
So you were a wife then and got married right out of college?
We got married right out of college. Well, Brad had been out for a year. He's a year ahead of me.
Yeah, I couldn't talk Sarah and get married any earlier either. I tried.
And then we were married for 5 years before starting a family with kids.
Okay, great. And what's that been like? What's the difference? What's that been like for you moving from being a professional person going to work every day and having that kind of contribution to high school kids and then being home all the time with kiddos?
And diapers.
Well, I always
lots of diapers.
Wanted to be a mother.
Yep.
And I loved teaching. And I had my own identity totally separate from Brad's in teaching. So there was a lot of affirmation there. And I enjoyed the creating and teaching and seeing the aha experience with the kids. But then there were difficulties with teaching, too. The demand was really hard, and that age that I was dealing with could be very, very challenging. And so I would get drained and long for being at home and being a mom. And then when I became a mom, I had this rude awakening of, I've always wanted to be this, and now I hate it for a season.
Wow. Yep.
And I was kind of shocking because it was just such a big change as far as what it meant to be a mother and what I think I had an ideal picture of what that would look like before I actually became it. So it was a big change.
Yeah, I bet. And a lot of mothers talk about, I mean, you mentioned the affirmation you have in the professional world. And even though I always say mothering is the highest, you know, job and vocation and ministry you can have in the world, I've talked to a lot of moms, and I talked to my daughter yesterday in preparing for this, just kind of some of the things she's going through. She's got a 20-month-old at home right now, and she was working at a middle school, and now she's home all the time. And she said that's a big hole. Yeah.
And no one pays you for it. I mean, they can say it's all fantastic, but at the end of the day, there isn't really the kind of official validation for a lot of moms. It's like, you know, they go from perhaps working at a job that could be as demanding as 10, 12 hours a day to something that's 24/7 and pretty darn exhausting.
And no paycheck at the end of the week.
No paycheck.
Unless the husband does what I did, which was turn mine over to Sarah every week when I came home. There it is.
Oh, good for you, Wayne.
But
no paycheck or nothing's being seen. It's all behind the scenes things. Or all the work that you're doing becomes undone in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it's changing diapers or...
Yeah, no one comes by and says, hey, good diaper changing job. That was great. I love the way you do that. You don't get a lot of that.
No, and it's dirty, like, before you know it again, you know?
Yes.
So it doesn't stay done.
I think that's the hardest part about most of all that stuff. You just get everything the way you want it, and then it's already falling apart again. So you got to reload all that stuff. So what's that been like for you spiritually? I mean, having the work world, even the demands and exhausting part of all that, and now home being a mommy and that being exhausting. But has that affected your sense of identity as a person or your purpose on the planet? Any of that stuff been impacted by you can...
Yeah, I think it was hard becoming a mom and, first of all, dealing with sleep deprivation because I think all my life I slept soundly through the night, never waking up, and then having to deal with this whole new thing of sleep deprivation was really hard and learning how to function that way. And then making the sacrifices that I never had to make before because when it's just you and you're responsible just for yourself before you get married, that's one challenge. And then you get married and you're dealing with one other person and you're making sacrifices there.
Pretty demanding husband at that, huh?
And then when you have children, you're learning to make more sacrifices. And each time it's, you know, more of sacrificing what you want or what you are needing and learning how to balance all that. And recognize some of your limitations and being okay with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the busyness of all, I mean, particularly the 24/7 child-rearing deal, mm-hmm. do you find it more complicated, harder to find time to just spend with the Lord or with friends or as a mother or as a professional person or is it about the same?
Well, I think it depends on how you define it and also maybe your temperament because I like to have quiet time where I don't have many distractions when I have time with the Lord. And
it doesn't happen in our house.
It doesn't really happen when you have young children. So learning how to find God in the midst of what I was doing every day was a whole new realm for me. And so that was really good in a lot of ways.
Okay.
But my temperament is more one that likes to have uninterrupted kind of quiet time and being able to focus. And I can multitask, but I don't like to multitask. I like to be more focused on one thing at a time.
Did you ever work out a thing where you would have that time while Brad was home, being able to chase the little monsters around and keep track of that? Or is that, I mean, I know a lot of people talk about maybe that being a good option, but it doesn't seem to happen for many folks.
Well, we tried the tag team thing when we just had one child, and we could do it here and there, but there was still a sense of I was getting tagged more than Brad was getting tagged. He still had, you know, more time of doing things on his own than I did, and you can start feeling a little bit of competition between
resentment.
Yeah,
we're going to use the R word, are we? Yeah. He was in professional ministry at this time, too.
He was in professional ministry.
It was college kids, so it was a lot of nights out.
They're nocturnal creatures.
Yeah, and late nights out.
Not very helpful to the family hours.
And we've already established that Brad's already a nocturnal creature himself. So.
He's not as much anymore, though, because he would be out till 2, 3, you know, with college kids. And then my kids at that age and that season of life were up at 5, 6, and a couple times in the middle of the night, too. And so the only thing I could control was the nighttime bedtime.
Yeah, let me be clear. Nocturnal for me begins at 9.
9.
Yeah, anything after 9 is nocturnal. Okay, sun's gone. It's dark. It's nocturnal. So I understand he's got it back to about midnight now. So that's pretty good, Brad.
Yes, that's a big change. Because I always felt like he was missing out on like 3-4 hours of the kids' time in the morning, especially because his day usually started later in the day. We had him home during the day more, and he was out more at night. And so, but he would have to sleep in the morning because he was out so late.
Yep.
So that was a little bit of a juggling act.
I thought it would work. I did.
Well, you talk to most guys and ask, do they really feel like they share the load when they're home? And most guys will say, yeah, I think so. I mean, I thought I did. But when you look back at it, you're kind of going, I mean, a lot more of it does fall on the wife's plate, even if you're trying for it not to.
Oh, yeah. Kelly had a profound, I mean, she had a constant lament while we were in ministry of, you know, I wasn't there. And I'm sitting there going like, well, yeah, I am. But I wasn't there in a focused, I'm there at every bedtime. It's like, you know, we tried to make sure that maybe I was there half the nights. And the other half, we had meetings and all this other stuff.
Right.
And I was, you know, it was required to be at all these things. And so, you know, I always sort of tried to validate it like, well, you know, if I was at a 9-to-5 job and in traffic in L.A., you know, you'd never see me. And and it's like,
comparative righteousness, I always like that.
I know. But it wasn't until all of a sudden we had a massive change of life that I finally woke up to what she was really saying. When I was there every night, I had no idea what I was missing. I also had no idea of the constant demand that she felt and the near burnout that was going on. And I just go like, you know, how could I really miss that? Because I wasn't like a distracted husband. I mean, I'd have to say that on the comparative righteousness scale, yeah, I was still shining.
Okay.
But I had no concept of just the load that was on Kelly and how that just was not fair. And I, you know, I mean, I've been trying to adjust in the last 4 or 5 years, and I think it's brought a tremendous amount of health to our family that I didn't know at first that we really needed.
Less burnout, less resentment.
Yes, and I think it took him just being with the kids by himself without me there a few times. And that, I had to grow in that area too, because I had to allow, yes,
that they would be safe, no one would die.
He wouldn't do anything too stupid with the children.
Life is different when it's just me with the kids. It is a different experience than it is with just Kelly and the kids. And
well,
I can't explain all of that.
There's too many sitcoms of the guy taking the kids out with a hose, you know, after change a diaper because he doesn't want to touch anything. You know, just hose the kid off and
I didn't really do that, but I think. I do see the wisdom in it.
Believe me, I do too, but that's the problem, I think.
But I do think you guys bring a lot of playfulness to
yes.
the family and the kids that is a gift from God, really. That
a gift. So it's not just winding them up before they go to bed and getting yelled at. There's actually a gift
here.
Well,
I know most moms don't like the winding up before bedtime, yeah, and I would agree with that. But there is a playfulness.
It is fun. Kids are most fun right before bedtime. I don't know why that is.
They laugh like they love it.
That's right.
You're getting me in a lot of trouble, Wade.
No, I just Sarah's over there
trying to find validation.
No, she can't wait for her shot. No, but I think that's an important part. I think what a lot of women feel is, as I talk to them, and even some of the forum comments, is that this motherhood thing is so all encompassing. And it's very mundane, repetitive tasks. And they really, a lot of them don't feel like their husbands shared enough. And this podcast, I think, is not really for women, even though I hope it's helpful to them.
No, it's wisdom for dummies.
I don't want to call them dummies, but batten the hatches, boys. I do think it's important for us to know what do women want exactly, and how is it that we can be helpful. I wish I had this kind of discussion maybe when we had kids 4 and 5 or 6, and it might have been different in our home too, because I think I really felt like I carried it. I'm not sure Sarah feels like that, and we can ask her about that in an equal way, because part of it is wives are afraid to let go of a certain way of doing things, and the husband will mess that up.
Now you've touched a sacred cow.
And okay, we'll tip him in a minute. The other part of that, I think, is that guys feel, because they're not around all the time, and they've worked all day, they come home and think, well, we'll just share it from here on out, and feel like they're sharing it. And I think the wives will more want them here. They're yours. See you later. And I know there were nights when Sarah just handed me Julie, and she was a year and a year and a half old, and just said, I don't want to see her the rest of the night. And that was real clear to me, because I just, okay, I got her. And it was one of those mother-daughter Battlestar Galactica days.
Your child.
And, you know, I think that's true. I think some women, you know, kind of hint to their husband, I'm hoping to get a break sometime, which is very different than, can I go out Thursday night with the girls and you've got the kid? I mean, I think that's, guys don't do well with hinting.
We need it painfully obvious. Write it on the billboard. I am like several in a row, and we might get it.
I'm going out Thursday night, 6 o'clock. You've got the kids through bedtime.
So when's the babysitter coming?
Yeah. And you can go hire a sitter if you want, I guess. But I do think it takes that, because I think guys want to share it. I think how, and they feel, because moms seem to be so in tune with everything going on with the kid, because they've been with them all day, or the kids, that the guy feels a little less out of tune. And if they try something, and they're already getting this throw from the wife of, no, it's not that, it's this. And so they finally kind of just say, well, I'm never going to figure this out. Instead of, I think it'd be fun if the gals let the guys make a few more mistakes with the kids. And
yeah, you
that
have
way.
To be okay with maybe the clothes aren't going to match when dad dresses them, you know, because if
but it's a top and a bottom.
Because if I were then to put him down in that and he actually dressed them,
if
then I would be working against myself, because he actually helped by getting the kids dressed.
Exactly.
And that helped me.
Like
I said,
it's a top and a bottom. I have no fashion consciousness whatsoever.
I think it's one thing we're leaving out of this, because most of us that have grown up in more religious settings, there seems to be, I mean, the Bible was written at a time when women were considered property. Now, I think Jesus is definitely talking beyond that. He's opening doors for women way beyond that. But the truth is, religion's pretty much been stuck, and I think the more conservative religion is, the more it's been stuck in women seem to have less value and purpose in the culture, other than raising kids and teaching Sunday school. Did you feel any of that in where you grew up in it?
I think maybe more down in the Southern California area than in Central California, where I grew up, because there is more of a drive down here for being career oriented and having a high position, and that being validated more than being just a mom at home. But I still felt internally that this is a very, very important thing, to be all the behind the scenes things, and the years between 0 and 5 lay such a foundation that I knew that, but I would just come to the end of the day sometimes with needs not met and have major burnout. And that was what I struggled with.
Okay.
Well, in the whole realm of needs, it wasn't, you probably ought to talk about discovering what those needs were, because I think as we watch the transitions from where we were married and didn't have kids to all of a sudden we had kids, the needs that you had were different.
Yeah, I always considered myself a very adventurous person, like to be spontaneous, like to go overseas, travel, all these things. And then once we had kids, I wanted stability. I wanted
routine.
I wanted to be home at night. I wanted Brad to be home at night. I wanted a certain income so that we could have, you know, the needs of the kids, all these things.
Well, you work for the church.
Okay, you're not using terms right, but I'm going to let it go by this time.
Okay. Sorry.
So, yeah, I think all those changed. And many times Brad, I think, wondered, where's the wife that I married? And it was because I was seeing different things with the kids. And I think these were things that were necessary to raise healthy kids.
Yeah, but I also think that there was a measure of discovery that had to take place, because I don't think it was clear. Kelly knew something was wrong, but I don't think either of us knew exactly what it was or how to meet it. And so it took a little bit of time to discover what it was that, you know, that you needed, and also how to be creative about also making sure that would get met. Because sometimes there's expectations that you bring to the whole thing, and then there's the bedrock needs. Well, you can adjust your expectations. You can throw them out altogether. But needs, you can't do that to. And I think there were times that we were trying to adjust Kelly or her expectations, but there were things that were just bedrock needs, and they were going unmet. And it took a little while to discover at times what those were.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it was learning that I couldn't do as much as I had always done. I grew up in a community where I did most everything that was available and was successful at it. And now, with being sleep deprived and just not having as much time or resource for myself, I realized I couldn't do all this. And so how was I going to best utilize my time, and how could we team together in helping to get some of those needs met? It was a real learning season.
There's a learning curve.
A big learning curve.
Yeah.
For a lot of couples. And not all couples get through it. Some of what I think people are saying on the forum is they feel like their whole identity and personhood gets swallowed up in the mundane tasks of motherhood, while their husband is still out there in the world meeting people and doing things that are exciting and fulfilling. And you know, the guy comes home with a sense of accomplishment, even if that accomplishment is a paycheck. And I think the accomplishment of raising children is something you don't see in the first few years. I mean, you don't feel it in the same way, obviously, as until your kids are adults and you see them functioning in society in a way. Then you maybe have a greater sense of accomplishment there. But I think women who are feeling, man, I'm totally swallowed up. My life is just one dirty diaper after another. And what do you say to moms like that? I mean, is this just, hey, it's for a season, endure it? Is there a way to help them see beyond that so it doesn't feel so, they don't feel so wasted? And what would you say, Kelly, to someone?
Well, Brad and I were talking a little bit about this in the car ride to your house, and I told him there were three things, I think, for me that were big keys in helping me kind of navigate through, and I'm still navigating through. One was recognizing I was limited, and he was very affirming and encouraging, saying, you know what, if you just love the kids today in one or two simple ways, you have done what's important. And that was so important for me to hear, because I tend to be more task-oriented and want to have accomplished this, 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 and that. And I would come to the end of the day and feel like I hadn't done all those things.
Well,
so
in the household, nothing is ever completely done.
Yeah, I think the best days you break even. Everything just kind of okay.
Well, you might accomplish what's on your list, but the minute there's another live person that's walking, they can mess up just about everything that you've put in order. And a child under five can do that within seconds. And so Kelly's having to live with this sense of nothing's ever done, nothing's ever just in its place, and she does have a personality that likes order.
I like order. And yeah. So that
how do you live with that? Because have to.
I know. And there, you know, it was deciding to be okay with a little disorder. Like, for instance, I kind of set this boundary that, you know, I wasn't going to pick up the toys every moment after the kids were done playing with it. That, you know, I would teach them, when you're done playing with that, we're going to clean that up before you move on to the next thing, and teach them a little responsibility with that to help mom out. But then I felt like if something got a little bit out of order, or maybe they didn't do that a couple times, I had to be okay with letting that go. And then at nap time, I would clean up, because then if I felt like things were in order just for nap time or at bedtime, then I could rest, and that was a blessing to me. But I had to be okay with just letting it go for those other hours in the morning that we were running around doing lots of things, and be okay, and that was hard.
So that's that limited thing you're talking about.
Yeah.
Just if you do a couple of things well that set your expectation level there rather than trying to make sure everything's perfect all the time. You said there were two other things.
Two other things. Another one was recognizing that it was just a season, and that in the whole scheme of things, even though when you're in it day in and day out, it seems like a very long season, that you're kind of coming on the other side, it seems like it's a very, very short season, and being okay with that. And then making sure that I had people around me that were affirming of what was most important, and reminded me that having toys all up and down the stairway was okay, and, you know, you're going to wish for that more later on in life than, you know, having a perfectly clean house. And hearing those things and being around people that were affirming, playing with your kids is important and invaluable. Their work is their play, and hearing that was very important. And then the third thing was, what was the third thing? Now I'm blanking on what it was. Do you remember what?
Realizing that you needed some time for yourself.
Oh yeah, and being okay with asking for that, and not thinking that that was selfish to ask for that, and kind of going back to the husbands need it to be direct, and so not just hinting at it, but going, you know what, this is a need, and I can ask for this, and it's okay to ask for time for me. I will be a happier person, a happier mom, more patient if I do this, and I need to do this.
And asking for it isn't necessarily an admission of failure. It's just the reality of maintenance, I think.
Yeah.
But I think maybe some young mothers have a hard time asking. They feel like it's their failure as a mom. If I had it all together, I wouldn't need time to myself, or wouldn't need time with the girls. And you mentioned some of the affirming thing. You mentioned that coming from Brad, you know, if you've loved a couple. And you mentioned other – I'm wondering if this was all just other women your age, or were these like women that had kids older than yours that were – have been part of this journey for you? Or
I had a couple of friends when we had our first child. We would get together once a week, and this was all our first baby. And, you know, they were all contained in their little car seats, and so we could still discuss. But, boy, this was such a new phase of life, you know. And then by the third, you're like, what were we complaining about?
You know, had conversations.
That was before they got mobile and vocal.
Yes. And but just having that support so we could talk about the things that we were struggling with at that time with that particular child and marriage issues was wonderful. And then, you know, another child comes, and just different people through the years, going through some parenting classes where we met different families and couples that had kids our age and that were struggling with similar things, preschool environments that have parenting programs, or, you know, just couples that are dealing with some of the same issues.
There were also some friends that I think you kind of needed to sort of distance yourself from a little bit, because they were reinforcing the whole drivenness. And, you know, it took me kind of intervening, not to destroy a friendship, but just to kind of, I think, just sort of give some perspective, just going like, this person is running at that pace that's going to totally hit the wall. And when you're with them, they kind of drag you into that sense of unfulfilledness that I can't just focus on being a mom and caring for my kids. I have to do all these X, Y, and Z other additionals to have a sense of, and there were some folks that we just kind of had to sort of pull back from a little bit, just going like, you know what, they're doing that, you know, light your hair on fire, be a numbnut weirdo thing, and we just got to step back. Still love them, still be in a relationship, but just recognize those weren't the kind of relationships that were reinforcing areas that needed to be reinforced.
There's almost, even in the media, this kind of superwoman or superman, I mean, either one, but it's this, get everything right. You got the kids going, you got a job going, you got, you know, you got 50 million things going, and you're, you know, sleeping 2 hours a night and everything's right with the world. That's really nuts. And I do think we have to take it on, and we do have to, I think what I hear that's really valuable is maybe some of the young mothers on our forum that we're talking, especially being outside of a normal congregational kind of style of worship, maybe alone. Maybe they don't have those kinds of friendships now. So it's just them and the kids and the husband. And I think that's really a tough road to hoe. If you don't have relationships outside that, particularly others that are sharing the journey where you're at with young kids at home, I think you end up feeling alone and you end up feeling that burned out or resentment thing and not dealing with it. So it just builds up year after year.
Right.
Well, what was weird is Kelly found a lot of those friendships outside of the church environment. The ones that were inside the church environment tended to have that whole driven.
That distancing.
And layered at a whole dimension of religious obligation. And Kelly just, I think she sort of saw through that long before I did. You know, because I was up there in front of the parade leading it.
Yep.
And I think Kelly had a capacity to just recognize, this is not healthy for our family. And, you know, that's supposed to be one of the biblical earmarks of, you know, prerequisites for, quote, eldership, is you look at the health of the home and the life of the family. And she's going like, wait a minute, she's raising flags in the midst of, you know, all this great ministry success going, this is not healthy. I don't care what you're calling it. It's not working.
But the way we talked about it is you need this healthy family thing because you're never going to be there. So it better be good. We're going to kill you on the other side of this. I think that's how it's unfortunately misinterpreted sometimes. But finding those relationships. I know my daughter, I was going to talk about this last podcast and I didn't get to it because we're talking about relationships and connecting in relationships where you can. My daughter found out, I'm not sure she even found out about this mom's club in Simi Valley where she lives. And so she joined it in March or something. She just started hanging out at these meetings. And some of the gals are believers, some are not. And within 6 months now, she's president of the local chapter. And now they're asking her to mentor five other chapters because my daughter really is an organization freak, which is why she works for me. And it, I love it when she's here doing that. But that's a way it's connected her now with a whole group of moms going through similar experiences. And I think people who are really out there alone just say there are support kinds of networks, even outside of traditional congregational kinds of things, where you can connect with people and share that kind of life together.
Absolutely.
I think that's important. So what was the key, getting back to it, I think the whole resentment burnout thing. I don't think it's about identity, whether it's, you know, you're a mom or a teacher at a school. I think it really is just feeling overwhelmed and losing your sense of purpose, in whether it's mommying or facing a room full of teenagers. So how did that, can you flesh that out a little more, Kelly, how that became, how you guys kind of sorted through that in a healthy way?
Well, I think speaking up to make my needs known was one way, and having time for myself.
Having a husband who would listen.
Yeah, having a husband who would listen. And
professional counselor.
I feel bad for women whose husbands won't listen. You know, they're basically screaming in their face. And maybe they're just hinting too much, but I think maybe, you know, some of you wives need to tie your husbands to a chair and play the podcast for him. And hopefully you get it that this woman is not alone in this task and that when she asks for help, you find a way to help her. Because I think that's critical.
Absolutely.
If they're not teamed as partners, I just think this is a tough road. I admire single parents who've really got, but even them, I'd say, man, have some other people that are around you helping it out. Because this is a big job.
One of the bonehead things I needed to learn is that Kelly really didn't need to be problem solved. She really needed to be listened to.
But it's what we do.
I made that horrible mistake of just going like, oh, okay, you've now told me your problem. You've been thinking about it for ages, long before you ever voiced it. And now, within moments of hearing it, I now will come up with the solution. And I'm just going like, how absolutely arrogantly stupid to even say something before that sense of being able to empathize and just go like, you know what? I think she just needs to be heard. Took me a while to learn that one.
I think we all need to. I think guys really need to learn that one. Because a fix is usually, here's how you can fix it so I can go back to my life. Even if it's winding up the kids before bedtime. Instead of being part of a solution and being part of what they need and entering into that whole thing with them.
Yeah, I mean, when Brad would just play with the kids, in fact, there were a couple of spiritual mentors in his life that I was so grateful when they would give him tips on how to play with the kids more than any, like, tip from studying something, you know,
oh, yeah,
scripture.
The steamroller game.
Yeah, one guy taught him the steamroller game, and it was
Well, you're
going to
have to tell us about the steamroller game.
The steamroller game, this is fun. We line the kids up, and Dad rolls over them like a steamroller. And it does require some you know, good gymnastic ability to not crush the children.
Okay. These are older children, right? These are beyond 2 or 3 months old, right?
I wouldn't recommend this with newborns.
Good.
They can die.
And your attorney's name and address is...
No, but things like, you know, just romping around with Dad being the horse and bucking everyone off. I mean, we're just... They were one wonderful physical, just simple suggestions. And I'll be honest, it's not as if I didn't have a sense of play, but the concrete examples that some of these guys just suggested, you know, here's what I did with my kids. They're great. We immediately adopted them, and now they're our own.
And I think that's a good recommendation. I think people who are raising kids, Sarah and I always had people around us that had kids 5, 6, 7 years older than ours. So we could always, we get to points like, oh, what do you do? What's that? We had people to resource from, and particularly when our kids got to teenage years, they were incredibly helpful to give us, here's when to back off, here's when to let your kids make their own decisions, here's when you do need to step in as a parent. And having an outside resource that had been down this road before and had kids that we really admired, that was incredibly helpful.
We've had a wonderful couple that, you know, their kids are, you know, grown. And they've almost been a little bit like a second set of parents at times, but they gave us some wonderful insight of just, you know, look, for the health of your family, you have to be a better husband and a wife
first
than you are a mother and a father. And when you look at the overwhelming demands of children, it is pretty easy to just succumb to that. And so you just sort of manage their constant demands. And we had to be really disciplined about recognizing Kelly just didn't need time away from mothering. She needed time with me, where I'm undistracted, where she can be celebrated as my wife, and that we can have time to just talk about stuff rather than just putting out fires with the kids.
Right. And that meant being willing to pay for a babysitter or finding another couple that we could swap with at times, or we would maybe watch their kids one night so they could go out, or we would watch their kids so they could go out. And
or pay your grandparents to live close, something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the most ideal.
Don't ever live very far away from grandparents.
Stay close to family.
That is
the
key to life.
The key to support.
It is the key to life sometimes. Well, you said Taylor's turning 5 in a week.
She is.
Will she start school this fall?
She will be in kindergarten.
How will that change life for you? Are you even thinking?
She will have one.
She will have a life.
At least for 4 hours.
Well, she's had a great life up till now. It's just been, it really is. I mean, that's, I guess what Scripture talks about, the journey. It really is a self-sacrifice, giving. I mean, you've been involved in that. Are you thinking about going back to teaching at some point? Or?
Yeah, well, I've kept up my teaching credential over the years, and I've been substituting here and there, and I really enjoy that. So,
okay.
Were you even teaching preschool?
Oh, yeah, I did teach for
so you've been out of it 11 years, though, full-time. Is that 11,
yeah,
12 years?
Yeah, because Jared's 11.
Yep.
Yep.
So you're thinking about going back, and probably not this year, other than subbing some? Or?
Yeah, I don't think I'll go back full-time yet. I'm really looking forward to having just
the mornings free.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably end up being really only 2 mornings a week that I can actually choose what I want to do when I think through what volunteering I'll be doing in the classroom still and, you know, just duties that I'll have. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward.
So this is a season change, really.
Yeah.
I mean, there'd be a bit of how do you – what encouragement can you give moms who still have 2 and 3-year-olds at home? Just, I mean, how are you coming out of it? Do you feel
– Well, each year it's just been, you know, a realization of, wow, you know, it is just a season and it seems so much shorter. And then I look back at some of the pictures when they were littler and I'm like, oh, you know, I missed this already.
Yeah.
And then I was complaining in the midst of that, you know, about things. And so recognizing there are so many sweet things amidst the challenges and going, it does go by really, really fast. And recognizing that. Even though it didn't feel like that when I was in the midst of it. So just to hang in there and ask for what you need and try to be around people that are encouraging and supportive. And
it is a season.
It will be
different down the road, and you'll miss some of that. You really will as the kids get older. I think that's true.
Well, one of the things that it's been interesting for me to watch is Kelly was very accomplished before I even met her. I mean, she was her class valedictorian, senior class president. I mean, she was athlete, you know, She's absolutely stunningly beautiful. You can't see that on the podcast, but
we'll have her picture on the website.
And she was like the California Bowl Queen. I mean, she had a whole bunch of accolades.
Wow.
But you know, the amazing thing is,
where's your tiara? I want to see it.
They were never what defined her.
Yeah.
And so it's like where a lot of people step into this and they have a sense of achievement or accomplishment. It seems like Kelly has always had a natural sense of balance of more that's oriented towards loving and wanting a family and wanting the environment of that to be healthy. And I think, you know, when all of a sudden we started to have kids, her needs changed. And they weren't so much outward. It was more like, now I want to embrace caring for the family. Numbnut over here wasn't on that same page. I was still out there wanting to do these great things for God and all these great accomplishments, and we'll bring the family along with. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that's tragically wrong, but there was a sense of going like she dumped the need to accomplish and she was more focused relationally. And I was about 4 or 5 years behind the curve in learning to go, oh, that's what you're talking about. And I think that's a huge need, because I think a lot of times parents have kids as if they're like acquired a new car. It's like, oh, I guess it's time to have kids. But they don't change the focus of life and realize that I think the greater value is on relationship than it is so much on achievement. And our religious culture doesn't necessarily reinforce that.
Doesn't necessarily reinforce that. And I think everybody's committed to that philosophically. I think, you know, we can always say raising children is the most important thing you'll ever do and most important contribution to society. I think we really believe it. But living that, keeping that purpose alive in the mundane day to day, that takes the kind of conversations and affirmation that we're talking about. And I want to say to women who are doing this, who feel like, man, I'm losing. First of all, I'm not sure we have an identity in being a high school teacher any more than being a mother. We'll talk about that more on the next podcast with Sarah. Their identity really is in him. It's not in what we do. If it's ever in what you do, then as soon as what you do changes, you're going to be disoriented and you're going to struggle. But I think our world has taught us to find identity there. And so I think we'll have more of a chance to talk about that. But to really say to women right in the middle of raising kids and feel like they're being absorbed in everything, one, get your husband teaming with you. You know, if you have to beat the daylights out of him or be steamroller with your husband, do that until he gets it. And then have some friends around you that encourage what you're doing so you don't feel wiped out in it. Kelly, thank you for joining us again. You're a brave woman to come in here and this again. No, I'm glad. We'll have you back, I'm sure.
See, that's why I brought her. She's got a lot of smart stuff.
She does. Yeah. In fact, next time you can stay home. No, hey, also, we're trying to get some questions from y'all about Brad and I. Things you've always wanted to know about Brad or Wayne. Brad's already got 12 questions.
Yeah, I got a handful about Wayne. The nitty gritty, what they really want to know.
I've only got 3 or 4 for Brad, so I'm telling you, I'm really putting out a call. You know, come, send me some questions you want me to ask Brad. Okay?
Oh, what are you trying to do?
Oh, I'm telling you, get down and dirty, and we'll find out what makes this boy really tick. And so
I think I've revealed some of that in truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to not hold things back.
No, you don't, but there's still some things to be known. Anyway, I'm not sure when we're going to do that podcast, probably later this month. So if you can get us some questions like that, if you want them to ask of me, send them to Brad. And if you want them asked of Brad, send them to me.
All right.
And then we'll trash each other that way. Sound good?
Yeah.
Off to Minnesota.
Have fun.
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your comments or your questions by email or at our website, thegodjourney.com. Stop by today and join the conversation.